You may put this in your note. The apostolic and prophetic, the apostolic, prophetic, and angelic return of prosperity to the people of God. Hallelujah. Threefold is the government, it's prophetical, and then there are angels who are assigned to help. Yes. Let me tell you about four or five types of angels. There's prosperity angels. There are abundant angels. There are wealth angels. There are increased angels, host of them. And they're all around you all the time waiting for your orders, not to pray to them, but to speak the word of God, what is rightfully yours. And their assignment is to see to it. Harvest angels, you heard me?
Yes, sir.
Harvest angels. And then the apostolic and the prophetic. The prophetic is predicting what's going to happen in the future. And so we want to open, turn to the book of Zechariah. There's a prophetical word for you tonight for you to understand. But I had a word for my class last night. I have to pass it here tonight. I don't want you to miss it. You need to have it. Now listen very carefully. This is not an indictment. This is enlightenment. All right? Because people get quickly get angry and they miss out. You can't, you got to stay open if you know somebody trying to help you and loving on you. All right? So this is what the Lord said to me. If you're not a sower, you are a survivor. And if you're a survivor, you can't be trusted. Survivors operate by fear and not by faith. God said, if you're not a bona fide sower, he don't trust you. That's why he can't let you go no further. If you don't pass the wilderness test, you'll never get to the promised land. Survivors will stick with you until they think they are out. Survivors will act like they are sores when it's so obvious they are not. Because everybody else is sowing, and they don't want to be, they don't want to be found out. Survivors, and the Lord told me this now, survivors are pimp trying to pimp God. Now, driving here today, the message that the Lord gave me prophetically, and I'll show it to you in a few minutes and begin to give you some points you can work with and to make adjustment on your life and tell you where we are now. I never heard this before, but it's gonna be gripping or griping to you, one out of two. You know what Psalm 23:5 says. Psalm 23:5, look there. Thou prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I know everybody have heard that before, right? Well, I'm not sitting at that table in my life. I'm about to tell you why. Tell you how to get there. The prepared table is seed and saw. The prepared table, the reason you're not sitting there is seed and saw. If you become an obedient sower, you will be anointed and your cup will run over. I mean, this revelation to me, Pat, I never heard that. He said the prepared table is seed and the sower. It's not you just going to sit at that table. It's a partnership table. It's something you got to do. All right? In the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 12, we're actually working from verse 17. But I want to read. Angels are involved. There's a coming back thing. There's a jealousy. God is jealous of how the heathen are living on the high hog, and his people are barely getting by, most of them. In the 12th verse, it said, then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long would I not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the city of Judah, against which thou had indignation these 3 years and 10 years? And the Lord answered the who?
Angel.
The angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. Good words and comfortable words. I bring good words and comfortable word to he who have ears to hear tonight. All right. Good word and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry, I'm in verse 14, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now notice what he says. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Jealous, he said jealous. You heard he say it? Because something missing in their life, and somebody else is just showing off, and his children shouldn't be in that predicament. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So he says, verse 15, I'm very so displeased with the heathen. What they doing? What at?
At ease.
For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. Now, apostolically and prophetically, the Lord is returning to the church to pull her out of a traditional trick bag. You all look at me. You're the most powerful people on the face of the earth. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to do anything you desire to do in your heart, for your Father had provided for you. But religion and tradition argue so much about these things. They become so satisfied. Listen to me tonight. I'm going to try to share something with you. And the Holy Spirit will help me. He said in the 16th verse, therefore, thus said the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, said the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Now look at verse 17. Put verse 17on the Amplified Bible. Zechariah 1:17 in the Amplified Bible on the board, please. Zechariah 1:17. Cry yet. I'm reading the King James, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts. No, I want it in the Living Bible. Find the Living Bible. Can you get in the Living Bible? Zechariah 1:17. Cry yet, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts. Who said it?
The Lord of hosts.
My cities, through prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad. Now, three yets in here. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. He's talking about prosperity.
Yeah.
And shall yet choose Jerusalem. 3 times. And shall yet, and shall yet, and shall yet. Now the time has come for you to understand. Now look what it says in the Living Bible. Say it again. The Lord Almighty declared that the city of Israel will again overflow with prosperity. And the Lord will again comfort Jerusalem and bless her and live in her. Now, I know you say, my cities shall be spread because of prosperity. Now, that includes tonight the gospel. That includes some men not going to be saved if you don't get your money. You understand how important this is? You just got to let God do it. You don't have to do it. You just got to let him do it and open up and let the understanding flow through you. So I'm going to begin. I want you to write some words down. First of all, false security. False security. Then I want you to write the word down, remember. Restoration, receive, and release. Remember, restoration, receive, and release. And we have to move away from false security. Somewhere along the line in reading these things to you, you're going to see. For too long, large sections of the body of Christ have struggled financially. But it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Did you get that? For too long, large section of the body of Christ have struggled financially, but the Spirit of God is saying here at Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow tonight that it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Keep your spirit open, keep your ears open, and understand what the Lord is saying to you, all right? Whether you're suffering under the crushing weight of financial hardship or merely living from paycheck to paycheck, you can boldly declare, I want you to do this prophetically, I'll never be broke, another day in my life. See, that's prophetic. And the Lord told me, said, I want you to go back over some of these things with them because they heard the word, but they missed the prophetic aspect of it. Do you know why people are scarcing you tonight? Huh? They're scarce because they kind of recover from the prosperity revival. They stay at home by the drove. And they're a little embarrassed and a little ashamed and they don't want to come now. They'll come back sooner or later. But why would they stay home? And this anointing on my life, and I preach all the whole doggone thing, counsel the other speaker. And laboring with these people trying to bless them, you know what I'm saying? And they stay home. What will you do when the system shut down? My sister and brother, listen. If you're depending on your saving for security, you can forget it. They don't only want you to finance, they want you to refinance. And the system now is stealing your ownership from you. They're building a lot of apartments. You don't own nothing. Put about, I don't want cutting the grass. Stupid. Cutting the grass. You own a yard, man. Plant some flowers. But the system is coming where it's going to completely rob you that you're not going to have no ownership. And then you'll be in a communism situation because whatever we say goes because you ain't got nowhere to live. Ouch. Yeah. All right. God doesn't want you dependent on your little stash of cash. Or whatever you're dependent on as a safety net. It's not going to work. Not going to work. They're going to figure a way to get it. You listening?
Yes, sir.
God wants you in a position that no matter what comes. Now listen very carefully. You know who your source is. Let me say it again. I want you to get this now. See, because we're working from that verse. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city through prosperity, my church through prosperity, my child through prosperity should yet be spread abroad. God wants you in a position that no matter what come, you know who your source is and you will prosper. Now, We don't have to wait on a future date. It's right now. You know, we're not protected by our politics no more. Our government is not, the United States is not protected. Why? Why? No, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about everybody, Republican and the Democrat. They're not doing nothing but fussing and cussing. I thought them people were more intelligent than that. Somebody ought to come up with an intelligent answer, but all they're doing is arguing and the news media having a ball, and nobody know what's going on. They're fighting each other. So you must be ready when the recession hit. Put this in your note. I want you to read sometime the 39th chapter of Genesis. I'm not going to turn to it. But Joseph listened to God and obeyed and consequently saved a nation from starving. He obeyed God. What Isaiah 1:19 says? What y'all call obedience? Prayer? Reading your Bible? No, acting on what you read. And then prayer is not just talking. Prayer is not just talking. If you just been talking in your prayer, you haven't been praying. Prayer is talking and listening. And God give you direction that you can't handle, so he can do some things for you that you can't do. Abraham's son, Isaac, was walking under a financial anointing and heard from God in all of his financial matter. You heard that? He heard from God in all. Let me ask two questions. I want y'all, neither one of y'all to answer, because it's going to be kind of insulting. How many of y'all pray for money, and how many of y'all pray what to do with your money? How many of y'all ask God to help me, Lord, help me with these finances? How many of y'all ask God to help me with what I got and what you want me to do with it? And what he's saying is, I already answered that prayer. If you asked me to do what to do with what I gave you, you wouldn't be praying the other prayer. Can I help you? Now, I know nobody up in here living from paycheck to paycheck. Nobody in the world of life living from paycheck to paycheck. We got money, boy. We got some money. Pay attention, listen. Pay close attention. What is the cure for a famine in your finance? What is the cure for lack? What can move you? God, my soul. Say, God, my soul. See, you got to get that straight. God is my soul. Not no job, not no government. God. All right. Now, let's pretend, or let's, I use myself, that I have a famine in my life and my finances are not right. I know enough now not to ever be in that condition. Turn to Genesis 26. I want you to see this. Let me go to it. What can I do to change this thing right now? You know what I'm saying? Because most of the body of Christ need to hear this message. I don't care how many scriptures you got. Y'all just be running your mouth with them scriptures. Listen to me. We need to put some action to this, and we need to have some reality. Not just revelation, reality. And this is what he told me. He said, I want you to teach him on finance tonight. I don't know. He said, we don't have it because, I mean, if my members had it, they would have been here. They'd have been part of a $500,000 seed almost. Who y'all a part of? Any of y'all part of it? Yeah, that seed working on your behalf, because I'm calling that harvest in, man. And I want you to do the same thing. I'm trying to get it to you. All right, look in 26:1. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the day of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Amalek, king of Philistines, to Jericho. All right. And so Isaac was sent down that, in that famine. Look what he did in the 12th verse. How many of y'all know what a famine is? How many of you all somewhat partook of a famine? Well, here's a solution here. Here's a solution here tonight. Now, how many going to realize that? How many know, listen to me, that one of the most powerful teachings Jesus taught was the widow's mite? So it doesn't matter what your conditions are. If you get the right instruction and take the right action, God is obligated. You see what I'm saying? Do I have any amen or anything? And listen, I'm talking to you. Matter of fact, I'm ministering to you on behalf of him. And I have Jesus for a backup. See? In the famine, the 12th verse, in the famine. Matter of fact, here's one for you. A man run me down, found me, kept passing by my house, finally found me sitting under my gazebo. He asked permission to come in the yard. Came in the yard, placed a $500 check in my hand and said this: work ain't going right now. My business ain't running right now. And I don't have a lot of jobs right now. And he said, it don't add up. He has a $500 check and he said business. The man knows something. Another man pulled a $100 bill out of his pocket. Says, my mind and my body telling me not to do this, but I need to do it. If you're in a financial family, if you're living from paycheck to paycheck, if you're depending on the system, Social Security and all that stuff, you better get your seed. And the beautiful part about it, the Lord says he gives seed. He provides the seed, he provides the soil, and he provides the harvest. Say, well, Pastor, why you preach on this so much? And not only three things, you get saved and you be a witness for Jesus Christ and win people to Christ. You get into your health. And 3 John answers all that. 3 John 2. Ain't a whole lot of stuff to preach about. You're not going to live here. This is not your home. You're passing through. Eternal life, health, and wealth, that's it. You know, people want you to preach that deep stuff. Not where they're living at. Because they don't thank God, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. You can make it if you try. What? Everybody won't be no making it if you try. And God have given us a covenant. Give us his promises. Come on, talk to me. We have a covenant. We have a contract. We got promises. Yeah, you know, and that little thing come out, I'm doing all right. I can hear that from some of y'all. I'm doing all right. What do you mean you're doing all right? Sneeze. 3 times and see how all right you're doing. Look at this 12 verse. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Now, what's so specific about that? Isaac sowed in that land. What? Huh? See, that's why I read the first verse. How many under the sound of my voice tonight here in Water Life and online know that you somebody in the family? Are you somewhat to kind of put a little cushion on your head, you know? Because I want you to be open. I want you to hear what the Lord's saying. The Lord is putting his arm around you tonight. The Lord is stepping you step by step. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. You see it? Then Isaac sowed in that land where the famine was. Seeds has no respect for lack. What y'all want me to preach about? I mean, y'all want me to preach about something? What y'all want me to preach? About three Hebrew boys was in the fire. What y'all want? You see what I'm saying? This is reality. This is what the Spirit of God wants his children to know. You can do this. Tell the person next to you, you can do this. Matter of fact, tell them, you have to do this. This is the real deal. I'm cool, calm, and collected tonight because I know this is the real deal. And the Father, apostolic and prophetically, talking to me about this, that the body of Christ got to quit shucking and jiving around and being all sad when you're telling them the truth. And they want to hear something else. They want to rock and roll and raise their hand and jump. But they don't really, the reality of the thing. How can I live it? See, you want them, one of them rocking churches, you're rocking all the time, you're not manifesting nothing, you're not. Come on, children, come on, yeah. I dare you say, help me.
Help me.
Yeah. I want you to be open. I want you to be open. See. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received, sowed and received. In the same year. A hundredfold, and by being obedient, what happened? The Lord blessed him. How many want that? All right. And then it says, look what the seed did. And I don't want to stay here too long, I got a few more things. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, and great stores of servants, and the Philistine envied him. Now, here's a reversal to what we read in Zechariah. See, in Zechariah, the heathen in prosperity. But here, this man who knew how to sow. See, the church is not held back. It's the non-souls held back. Now, what you mean by a non-soul? Be open for instruction. Here's a complete opposite. This man sold. On the other hand, people of God, the heathen, God jealous because the heathen doing so good, and then they matching in God's face. Look at your church. They're constantly coming to us. Then the scripture told you, even in the Old Testament, I'll make you the lender and not the borrower. I'll make you the head and not the tail. Aren't you tired quoting that? That must be worn. Not just quoted, that must be worn. That's you. That's who he's talking about. You his church. I believe you part of the remnant. Many not going to get it. No, they're not going to get it. They're stuck in their own ways, you see, and they think they can do it their way by working jobs and stuff like that. You know, you got these two verses in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 and 18. 17 telling you, don't be claiming what you did. Let me give you the power to get well. And he goes on, it's so great. So Isaiah obeyed God. Joseph and Isaiah were blessed in the middle of a system shutdown because they knew how to follow the direction of God in financial matter. So write down, I must know how to follow the direction of God in all of my financial matters. Now your life changed tonight. Amen. If you listen to me, I ask you how much you got. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about amount. We're talking about obedience. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. God responsible to get something for you to be over. He took that responsibility to give you something so he can be over, so he can get you over. So I want to know how to follow the direction of God in financial matter. I dare you do it 3 months. Follow the direction of God in financial matter. Now he's going to test you. Yeah, yeah. He might pull that you got in that drawer under them clothes. Think nobody know. God know where that. He might pull that part and say, I want that. Say, oh, Lord. Yeah, that secret place, huh? Now, listen. We have a tendency to hear from God in everything, but you're going to have to know how to hear from God in these days of recession or no recession in your finances. You have to know how to hear from God. In the middle of the worst recession you may be having in your personal life can be restoration. Right up here tonight, the Spirit of God is to back it up. The worst, you could be in the worst recession of finances that you've ever been in your life, but I'm saying out of my mouth that right here, right now, if you set your heart and your mind right, you can have a restoration. Because I'm teaching you restoration. I'm teaching you how to receive, teaching you how to release. Restoration is when the wealth of God's people is restored to them. The wealth of God. How many of y'all God's people? I ain't thinking about no English. I'm just trying to find. I'm going to get some results here. Well, wealth supposed to be restored to you, but it couldn't be restored to you until somebody said, thus saith the Lord. And then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And don't be casual in here with me. Don't be so casual up in here, because you know you need to hear what I'm saying. See, I'm speaking out of love. I'm speaking by faith. And, you know, I'm taking the bricks and the stones and the bowing arrow and I'm ducking arrow. They're shooting at me. I know that some of y'all are so spiritual, y'all shooting at me, but that's all right. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. I can take it. Take, above all, take the shield of faith. Quench all the fire and doctor. I got to minister to you. I want you to know that God want to restore you your dignity. Revival is about to come on the scene. Somebody hearing me tonight. Somebody up in here hearing me, or somebody hearing me somewhere. Now listen to this. See, if you can understand prosperity is not just about houses and clothes and diamonds. I like them all, me. But it's not about that. Prosperity first is about soul. Now watch with this. And this revival, the end time harvest of souls, will require everything that rightfully belongs to the body of Christ to be restored to her. See, so even before we win the world of Christ, we've got to be restored to our prosperity.
All right. Amen.
Huh? Amen. Apostolically, I ministered here Sunday. My oldest son, apostolically, ministered in Houston, Texas. But because of prosperity, he was able, him and his family, to fly in a private jet, go do the job, and come on back home. Then a minister been and got a big church. He called here 4 or 5 years ago, want to borrow my jet. The jet, you can't borrow no jet. He should have had it by now. His father, then somebody else took over, then somebody else took over. They should have had a jet by now. They're going to go anywhere. He asked a man, like you talking about borrowing a wheelbarrow or something. Listen what happened now. God wants his church busy about his business. How many of y'all believe that? Not busy by trying to make a living day after day. He wants you to be about his business. He don't want you to be busy trying to survive, trying to make a living. I mean, you can't even pray right. You can work yourself up in the emotion, but when you come out of the emotion, you're going to be back in reality. Are you following me? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The only thing that can save you in a recession, time of recession, is a revelation of God's word. Revelation of the word and you being prosperous and rich. Proverbs 10:22. Let's throw it away. Let's throw the scripture away tonight. Proverbs 10:22. Just throw it away. Let's just throw it away. Proverbs 10:22. Just tear it out your Bible. Just throw it away. Proverbs 10:22. Just tear it out.
No. No, don't throw
it out. Don't throw it out. No. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, if you read that verse, you read that verse, you will have no argument with me. If you read that verse and then go to Deuteronomy 28, it's all over. Because Deuteronomy 28 explained how it worked. It explained that blessing does not come automatically. The blessing come because somebody have taken notes to obey him. But look what it does say. It says the blessing will run you over. The blessing, you run it, and the blessing behind you. The blessing will overtake you if you hearken to his voice and be obedient to him. I mean, I like all these cute sermons and all these, you know, nice messages, but man, I want the message to come where I live. That's what the Father wants. The Father wants the message to come where you live in it. The Father don't want you just going to church. People get tired going to church and nothing change. Shoot, something need to change. Y'all talk to me up in here. $100 check. Something need to change. You follow what I'm saying? My. Overflow with prosperity. Let me read that 17th verse again. In the Living Bible. In Zechariah 1. Go back there. Verse 17. Say it again. The Lord Almighty declared that the city of Israel will overflow with prosperity. And the Lord will again comfort Zion and bless her and live in her. Zion is church, you know. man. And I'll be back here. I'm going right down the line, because a lot of these things, my wife sometime, very sudden, she asked me, said, they need to hear that again and again and again. See, I got stacks of notes, Revelation, because I study all day. But there's something I need to go over and over and over until you get it. You get tired, you're in the same thing. I said, I'm preaching the same thing today. What? Same thing. I heard it 18 times. This is your 19th time. When you show some result, I'll quit preaching it. All right. On your finances, here's another thing. Beware of false foundation. False foundation. Never let owing take the place of sowing. Owing will bring no results but to the one you owe. Mm-hmm. So the first step is a correct financial foundation. Listen to this very carefully. A correct understanding of how we are to live as Christians, trusting God and looking to Him for the answer. Amen. We cannot live according to the world standards. Hallelujah. Y'all write footnote down what you think would help you, you know. All right, here we go. Here we go, one of them statements here. A statement will go. The Spirit of God recently spoke to me saying, tell the people who live by donation they cannot dominate. And by donation, he was referring to handouts from the government. The government cannot be your source. All right? You cannot live by cycles in the world system that comes and goes. It's got a cycle. They'll take you through that cycle. You understand what I'm saying? Now, hear this. How many of y'all know something about Psalm 23? Who in here, let me ask you a question. And I might tell you, stand up, so don't raise your hand and make me impress me. Who in here can quote Philippians 4:19? That's why you're broke. Philippians 4:19? Who can quote it? Don't be running your mouth. Just pay attention. You're in class. Who in here can quote Philippians 4:19? You can quote it, John? You can quote it. Now you're getting brave. You're putting the hand. All right, great. Put them on. We got 7 or 8 people. Now I know. See, when we go to it now, all y'all going, No, go ahead. Turn to it. You got to know this. You can't. See, when you're familiar with scriptures, that's not faith. See, you have to know a scripture to operate in faith. You can't be, there's no such thing as familiar faith. See, but that scripture there is you got to have that in your foundation, that somebody can wake you up 3 o'clock in the morning and say, who supply all your needs? But here's the catcher. That came from a seed. Keith Butler wrote a book, A Seed Meet Every Need. That came from a seed. Every time you see God talk about prosperity, talk about wealth, talk about abundance, you can trace it back. It's going to be a seed. Now, something he said about the tithe, he said that there may be meat in my house. He said that. There's not going to be no meat in your house until there's meat in my house. Philippians 4:19. Don't be waiting on no waves. Ain't no wave coming. You're gonna have to make this happen. Genesis chapter 12. Apostolic and prophetically, God want to bring you into place to have as a reality in your life his promises along this line of prosperity, wealth, increase, and abundance. He wants you to flow in that so his cities can be spread by prosperity. See? All right, here's a question. I say, I never look in 46 years. How much tithe you paying? How much fuel you can pay for me to take the gospel anywhere? How much you can put in on it? See? Well, that's why you ain't got nothing. Because you got to get in on this. Man, y'all got a real pastor. I talk to you, man. I'm talking to you because I ain't playing. Listen, I'm not playing no popularity here. I'm responsible for you. Take heed to yourself and all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. When you say you from Word of Life, I want you to look like it. I want you to understand how this thing works. It works. Some of y'all getting some blessing, but there's a whole lot more for you. Are you following me? In Genesis 12, God prospered Abraham under one condition. For Abraham to receive that much and power to prosper was that he come out. Amen. Genesis 12:1. He had to come out. See, I'm calling y'all out from tradition. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling you out from religious ideas. See, it's all like Abraham coming out. Coming out, you understand me? Coming out your pat. Procedures. Yeah, I'm calling you out. Come from your normal pattern. Come on out. I'm calling you out. Come out from your normal pattern of living. I'm telling you, I'm calling you out. Leave everything behind. And what you're hearing tonight, start putting it in your life. Start prospering. Tonight, start right here tonight, start prospering in your mind, in your conscience, in your imagination, in your desire, in your emotion. Start tonight. But you got to come out. See, I sense it, Lord. You see what Genesis 12:1 said? Yes, look at it. I want you to see this. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out. Get thee out. Get thee out. You see it? Of thy country. You've been in this country too long. You understand what I'm saying? Get thee out. Out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now, if you don't come out of there, that last part of the verse, you'll never see it. Until a land, I will show thee. But I can't show you the land until you come out of religion, come out of tradition, come out of a normal way of doing things, and hear my word. Once you come out, I can show you how it works. Go to verse 2. once he came out. Now, he didn't get in verse 2 till he came out. Now he said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing because you came out. Go to the next verse. Third verse. And I will bless them that bless thee because you came out. I don't know if you're going to be the hound there. I'm going to tell you to, you know that. Because you came out, I made you Saul. Because I want you to go from that verse, and we'll come back to verse 2. Go to verse 3. Go to verse 3. This is just so simple. Go to verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Look at the last statement. All right. All in thee shall all the earth. I was preaching with Creflo Dollar down in the city of New Orleans some years ago. I'm not too much about the natural. I don't know how many years, many years ago. I was preaching along this line with Abraham, and the Lord said, when a soul obey me long enough, I make them Saul. It's time for y'all to not just be Saul. It's time for y'all to become Saul. But you got to come out. See, how many of y'all don't want to come out tonight? You got to come out. Come out with your old satisfied ways. And we're doing pretty good. Just because you can have a turkey for Thanksgiving don't mean you're doing good. Anybody can get a turkey. Boy, steal a turkey off the truck and run. So I'm just trying to make how some of y'all think y'all. I got to find a jumping off place. Study Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Study. And find out, have you come out? When did the Lord call me out? Tonight. The Abraham call is on you right now. Don't listen to those crazy people who are not here tonight. Don't even listen to them when they call you tomorrow. Talking about that. Don't even listen to them because they're supposed to be here themselves. They're trying to keep you in with them. You came out tonight. Even though it's a little cool, but you came out anyway. Now I want you to prophetically prophesy to the person next to you and tell them you got to come out. Do you understand what we're saying? Trust in God, depending on God, listening to God, obeying God. God has somewhere he want to take you, but he can't take you as long as you stay in. You get ugly when somebody tell you the truth. You see what I'm saying? You come to the conclusion he need to be preaching something else. I supposed to help you, not harm you. It'll be harm for me to know what I know and not teach you and not challenge you and not call you. It'd be wrong for all the time I'm praying for you, all the prayers I prayed for you, not to come out here with an anointing and endorse those prayers, that you have something to work with. Stop talking all the old hard luck talk. You're a child of the living God. Don't be stupid, but be adventurous. There are times, God, this is a journey. Life is a journey. And sometimes you got to be adventurous. I'm not talking about it, pulling on Mickey on you. I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, what the word of God says. Now, I got to ask a question here. And this might be the very question to get you out. And don't raise your hand. You remember my opening statement, if you're not a soul? Yeah, how many survivors we got up in here? Survivors are in fear. They're worried. Brokenness produces sickness. Because you're always trying to catch up. And so listen to me. If you have to refinance, do it. If they give you a lower grade to pay and stuff like that. But don't let them have you. See them papers where I can pay this off when I get ready. And then go for it. Because this is your last round. See what I'm saying? And I'm going to keep coming at you as the Spirit of God anoint me, because I know you can do this. You know why? Many of y'all love God. I know you can do this. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to come out. You're being called out. I receive. You're being called out. I see you're being called out. Now, I want you to do this because this will be a reinforcement to it. I want you to ask somebody, am I being called out? Then turn to them and tell them, yes! You have to come out to be free. I'm closing. I got 2 minutes. You have to come out from the old ways or everybody else's ways of doing things and stretch your wings. Let me give you that again. You have to come out from the old ways or everybody else's ways of doing things, and then I add this, and follow God's pattern. That's what Abraham did. He obeyed God and came out. This is a good way to close it. Turn to Genesis 13. What happened to him when he came out? Oh, my God. Now, is anybody in here alienated enough from God to say you don't want to be rich? You know, some people, that's that spiritual, you know. I ain't worried about all that. I don't need all that money. I don't need to be rich and all that. I just want Jesus. Anybody here that's... Well, Jess, don't you get too close to me. See, they taught us that in religion. They taught us that, you see, but it's not real. And that's why we have such a time, even people such as you are, to get y'all to fully see it and to walk in it, because we've been taught so much other stuff. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Preachers broke. Been in the ministry for years. that's why I'm here. He won't get under this anointing. And it's working. See, that's real, too. See, that's real. The guy to, I received. God told me, he says, that's a $300 check. He told me he'd been under the ministry for a while. He said, man, everything done changed. He said, I don't worry about money anymore. Money just come to me. He said, everything done changed. He said, you know, I can go pay off everything I got right now. He said, I got enough money to go pay everything off. The next time I see him, you know what I'm telling, right? Go pay it off. I don't want you to be condemned. Listen to me close. I don't want you to be condemned because, see, that's what the enemy, there's no condemnation to who in Christ Jesus. Yes. Walk not out of the flesh, but out of the spirit. But I want you to be convinced that the good life belongs to you so we can be about our Father's business. See, like I said, it's not a good way. What I told you, Tony? Yeah, Genesis 13, because I'm about to say something else. Verse 2. Verse 5. Yeah, because he went with him. I'm asking you to come and go with me. And members on the line, I'm not passing you on the line. You need to come down to this church. The Lord ain't sending about no line members. Now, the people out of town, I got 524, they can't come here, but you right around the corner somewhere, tucked up in your nightgown, all that stuff. That ain't gonna work for you, I tell you right now. Don't work like that. All right. Sit down, get your envelope, that's so.